In 2009, Eleanor Ostrom was awarded the Nobel Prize for Economics, the first woman to have received such a distinction. Ostrom's name is synonymous with the word commons, an economic idea focusing on how communities deal with shared resources. An example of a commons might be a lake, which can be used by many different parties for many different purposes: recreation, fishing, shipping, transportation, drinking water, energy. Economist Garrett Hardin suggested that commons were inherently tragic because when many parties use a common limited resource, like a lake, for their own self-interest, they will all contribute to its eventual collapse. It might be in the self-interest of a fishing company to use explosives to fish, but it would harm the other users of the lake and eventually themselves in the long term. Ostrom took a revolutionary step in challenging the notion of the tragedy of the commons by presenting examples of groups where common resources have been managed to prevent system collapse. Her work in identifying principles for effectively governing commons eventually earned her the Nobel Prize, and these principles have since been applied to the work of shared knowledge and intellectual property on the internet. Eleanor Ostrom passed away late last month at the age of 78. Berkman Center researchers and affiliates Benjamin Mako Hill, Judith Dunneth, Oliver Goodenough, and Mayo Foster Morel shared their thoughts on the passing of Eleanor Ostrom and what she has meant to their lives and work.
I never met Eleanor Ostrom, but I was read her work in college and really influenced some of the way that I, you know, think about a lot of the projects that I work on and even on the, you know, things that I decided to do. The point at which I really, you know, sort of realized how much she meant to me and how much of an inspiration she's been was during my, I don't know, first or second year of graduate school. My advisor, Eric Von Hippel, sort of set me with the task of coming back with the name of an academic that I wanted to sort of grow up to be, someone who's, you know, not that I would, you know, study exactly what they did, but that I would do work that was like theirs, and how would, you know, that I, you know, might want to aspire to having a career like that. And after you know, a week or two of thinking about this and, you know, looking through a lot of my, you know, reading lists and you know, like considering this, like Ostrom was the answer that I came up with. And the reason is because like her work, you know, in her work on the commons, she sort of set out with this, to most people's taste, sort of impossibly broad question of sort of how is a commons governed, and there isn't a simple or a single answer to that. But what she did was she spent, you know, an entire career, decades of work, sort of unpacking and attacking this problem in a whole bunch of different fields. She did it from the perspective, you know, from, she did it with ethnography, she did it with lots of interviews and surveys, she did it with, you know, more formal modeling work in some cases, she did it with experiments. And the result, which is some, in some of her later work and in, you know, and in her, some of her books, is this, you know, like a broad theory that I think that an enormous number of people find very convincing. I mean, and just, there are very few academics, at least whose work that I've sort of worked with, who've sort of picked one of these big, impossibly broad questions and then just sort of like broke it down into pieces and worked on it systematically and came up with something which I think, you know, almost everybody finds pretty compelling.
I used Eleanor Ostrom's work on boundaries and the tragedy of the commons to help understand the different models that we've had for creating online communities since then. And for me, in that space, a lot of what was interesting about her work is the emphasis that she puts on self-determination and how the community needs to be able to create its own rules and what happens when the outsiders are creating rules. Because if you look at the outgrowth of this notion of what is a free conversation space, there are some very interesting versions of it. So I look at things ranging from the Stack Exchange networks, which are these very, very focused, you know, we're here to create knowledge and we're here to do it very strictly, to 4chan, which is here to have interesting things, depending on how you define interesting, come bubble up very quickly. But they both, they in their own ways, struggle with boundary issues, which 4chan, I would argue, does through the sort of speed and the need for something to catch people's attention in an economy of attention. And so her work gave me the theoretical foundation for being able to pull all these disparate pieces together in a way that's very, very elegant and deals with the whole issue of how do you end up having boundaries that are porous enough to let new things in without devolving into a destroyed commons.
I had the possibility to meet her in New York during a workshop on cultural commons, and I was very impressed by her character. She looks a very positive and charming person, and also very rebelled in the sense of she was not even taking very seriously the element of she won like the Nobel Prize. Like she was like very kind of easy person to talk with and questioning things with a kind of rebel attitude. And I very much enjoyed that. The way in which she embedded complexity in the sense that she did not try to force like a formula by which all the commons would work, but she point about her main conclusion, like saying there is not what only single formula that all commons would work, but there is a combination of several factors that would kind of favor that the commons work, but there is not like not try to force like a straightforward kind of causal relationship.
One of the things that struck me most about her was her incredible generosity, and that generosity worked both at an individual level. She was a great hostess for meetings and for small gatherings, but also generosity at an intellectual level. She was very encouraging of all kinds of people, myself included, luckily, who had need of the kind of guidance and help she could give. She was able to give criticism in a way that you took as encouragement rather than as discouragement, and she was always available. I was lucky in that the last paper of mine that I wanted to get her input on was just this last April. I had sent it out to her, and she consented to meet with me. She was clearly very, very ill, but had read the paper and had very good comments, some of which were complimentary and some of which corrected some things that needed correction. So she was, even just a couple of months ago, playing that role for me. She was institutionally generous. She created the workshop there at Indiana University that was is a terrific legacy and a source of great encouragement to a number of people who come through there. So that was one piece of her character. But as important, if not more so, was the absolute brilliance of her work. It has certainly been one of the major inspirations for me in my attempts to think about and model institutional building. Her ability to understand both human psychological motivation in a very complete and complex way, but also in quite a formally competent way, and to see how those that psychology could be used to create and then also to play in connection with institutions and institutional solutions was as nuanced and just straightforwardly clever as anybody's work that I'm aware of. It was a great treat to hear her explain things, which she did with clarity and great ability. So again, of the social scientists of the latter part of the 20th and or perhaps early 21st century, I would put her in the absolute top rank. Her Nobel Prize was but one piece of recognition of a body of work that is just spectacular.
That was Berkman Center researchers and affiliates Benjamin Mako Hill, Judith Duneth, Mayo Foster Morell, and Oliver Goodenough with their thoughts and remembrances of Eleanor Ostrom, who passed away last month at the age of 78. Find out more about her life and work at our website, blogs.law.harvard.edu/mediaberkman. This week's episode was produced by me, Daniel Dennis Jones, with special thanks with special thanks to Maya Foster Morell from the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard University in Cambridge, Massachusetts.